Kia ora, Maya. Log prices, they've sunk to lows not seen since, what, late 2015?
Kia ora, Max. Yes, not good news for the industry. And an industry leader says it could be months before there's a recovery. Earlier in the year, prices were at near record levels, but they've now dropped by about 70%. This is forcing harvesting crews to put tools down or work at reduced capacity, with the amount of logs heading to wharves well down on what's normal for this time of year. China is New Zealand's largest overseas market for logs, and Forest Owners Association President Phil Taylor says a perfect storm has caused the drop.
First of all, there's some significant electricity shortages up in China, and that means that the sawmills that are utilising the product or the plywood mills are operating on restricted hours, so demand's down. We've got COVID occurrences resurfacing across various parts of China, and so the Chinese government is taking action. So again, these are effectively lockdowns of production capacity. There's supply-side constraints. You know, we know international shipping at the moment is being significantly disrupted right across the sort of the global trade. So this is, again, not just only logs, but container ships and great bulk and iron ore. Everything's basically being impacted, and that's resulting in significant increase in costs of shipping. And then finally, in China, we've seen some developments with Evergrande, which is a major property developer up in China, has gone into effectively some form of financial liquidation. So that's caused some concerns. And markets are all about perception at the moment. So a combination of all those factors has resulted in reduced demand for logs.
And Phil Taylor says the situation is very fluid, but it's anticipating the low prices could carry through into the first quarter of next year. He says its biggest concern is the impact that reductions in harvesting have on logging and transport contractors who have a lot of money invested in capital and need to keep busy. To other news, and fishing companies are in discussions with the government about setting up an employment scheme similar to the RSE scheme used by orchardists. The horticulture and viticulture industries are able to recruit just over 14,000 seasonal workers from the Pacific each year when there aren't enough New Zealanders to fill jobs. Tully's, Sanford and Sea Lord want a similar initiative for their industry. Sea Lord Chief Executive Doug Paulin says with unemployment so low, filling job vacancies is proving difficult. He says Sea Lord has 60 jobs in processing plants and 50 jobs on fishing vessels, which it can't fill.
Yeah, so we've been talking to immigration in terms of potentially looking at setting up a similar employment scheme to what is operating in horticulture. We were able to access labour from the Pacific Islands, and that comes in with the New Zealand government working with various different agencies in some of those Pacific Islands. So that's under discussion currently, and we have talked in a more general sense about the need to get labour to fill these roles. And look, it's not only Sea Lord. You've got Sanford, you've got Tully's, you've got many other players who are in exactly the same boat where they've got significant amount of roles vacant at the moment.
And Mr. Paulin says the industry does already have a scheme in place which allows them to recruit staff from Russia and the Philippines, but they're only allowed to work on fishing boats.
You're not able to use that scheme for land-based factories, and a number of us have got significant vacant roles actually in our land-based factories. When horticulture get their approvals, it only covers those workers to be able to work in horticulture. You can't actually then say, well, okay, I've finished what I was doing in horticulture, now let me move on, for instance, to seafood, because there are roles now open seasonally, and that you're not able to.
Doug Paulin. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment says a review of the fishing industry's workforce did start earlier this year, but no decisions have been made. A survey by BNZ shows farmers and growers are split on whether the extent of change happening in the primary industries at the moment is good or bad. As part of the bank's Future of Agribusiness report, which it releases every 18 months, about 500 farming customers were surveyed. It found 47% feel the changing landscape of the primary sector is a threat to their business, while 53% see it as an opportunity. BNZ's head of agribusiness, Dave Handley, says there's a lot for farmers to take in at the moment.
And we know farmers and, you know, and orchardists have always been a resilient and adaptable bunch, but just the sheer amount of change is pretty significant, and we're calling it once in a generational level of change. And if we think about, like, there's climate change going on, there's a lot of environmental change, compliance change, and then you overlay that with, you know, the impacts of COVID-19 and what that's meaning for supply chain and all those sort of things, there really is a heck of a lot happening all at once.
Now, orchardists and wine growers were amongst those most confident about the outlook, with about 60% saying they intend to or already have increased their planting rate. Dave Handley thinks this reflects that growers have largely been enjoying strong returns and also aren't facing the same level of pressure as other sectors to make changes to their practices.
You can sort of clearly see why there's probably a greater level of optimism or positiveness in those sectors. And I don't think they're quite yet having to face into the hard conversations and the actual changes to their farming businesses or orcharding business yet in regards to some of the environmental change. Whereas if you look at our dairy farmers, for example, and some of our sheep and beef farmers, they've been doing this for 3 or 4 or 5 years. So I think it's certainly coming towards to the horticultural sector, but maybe it's just not quite there just yet.
The survey also showed about 40% of farmers thought that the COVID pandemic was a threat to business, while 20% thought it had actually created opportunities. Meanwhile, more than two-thirds of farmers think government regulation has been too much, too fast in the last 2 years. And just lastly, a Palmerston North dairy farmer has been fined over $6,000 for failing to tag and register his cattle. The Ministry for Primary Industries says farmers who fail to use the National Animal Identification and Tracing Scheme can slow its ability to respond to biosecurity threats. Kia ora te pūrongo o te tai whenua.